read with you the first three verses for the thought of our study. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. On Sunday evening, we've been making a study of the Paul as he writes to the church at Rome in regard to the heart of man. And we have been stressing the fact that Paul recognized the importance of the heart of man and so stressed it in the book of Romans that none can misunderstand. Thus far, we've dealt with several lessons on the heart. And this week, we hope to continue that study as we look at Romans chapter 10. And what I want you to do is, when you look at Romans chapter 10, is note some things here of great interest. Notice what Paul had to say in verse 1 when he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Look at that statement made by Paul and underscore heart's desire. This was something that was deeply seared and deeply seethed into the heart of Paul. And Paul said it was his desire, it was a desire of his that the world would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in particular at this time, his Jewish brethren. This word here means earnest and sincere wish when he talks about desire. Not just some flash idea that came into the mind of Paul, but that which is sincere and earnest. And Paul says it's something he dwelt upon. That when he looked out at his Jewish brethren, it was his heart's desire that they would be saved. That they would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, put away the old covenant, enter into the new covenant with Christ, and become children of God. Then Paul said what the problem was. Paul said their problem was that there was a lack of knowledge. Paul looked out and he saw his Jewish brethren and he gives them credit for one thing. Paul says they have a great zeal. Notice in your Bible in verse 2, "I bear them witness they have a zeal for God." Now zeal is good, but look at the latter part of that statement. But not according to knowledge. It's one thing to be zealous, but if you're zealous without knowledge, that can be a very dangerous thing. And it's not good to have zeal if you don't know what you're talking about. Because you can be zealous and not be zealous for the right thing. If you take your Bible this evening and turn with me to the book of Proverbs and the 19th chapter. Look in the book of Proverbs and the 19th chapter and verse 2. And notice that the wise man said, "It is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet." Notice the wise man said, it's not good to not have knowledge about what you're talking about. Any particular subject. And Paul knew of the facts. Paul said they're zealous for God, that's good. But he also knew their zeal was not according to knowledge, it was a misguided zeal. But notice something else. Paul also recognized they were ignorant of God's ways. They failed to recognize that the law had been nailed to the cross and that Jesus was their Savior. He was their Redeemer. That they didn't need to go back and continue to keep a covenant that God had done away with, but they need to keep the covenant of Jesus Christ. And thus, Paul, writing, says, "My heart's desire, my sincere desire, my earnest wish is that they would have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would be saved." But notice something else. He recognized they were ignorant of God's ways. Look at what they said in verse 3. "They being ignorant of God's righteousness, they sought to establish their own righteousness." Instead of seeking God's will, they had made up their law, their tradition, their way. And I'll tell you, my friend, any religion that does not seek God's way is an insufficient religion. Any religion that doesn't seek the pattern of God and seeks to follow God's will is a religion that is not right in His eyes. And thus Paul, writing to the people of that time, recognized that their law had been done away with, and he wants them to submit themselves to the will of God. Open your Bible back to the book of Isaiah for just a moment and the 55th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. And notice that the people who were trying to establish their own way of worshiping God and their own way of works ignored what Isaiah said. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, you have one of the most powerful statements in all the divine revelation, when the divine word said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." I want you to understand tonight with the love of God in my heart that God's ways are higher than your ways. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And you may think that you have a better way of worshiping God than God has revealed in His Word, but that is contrary to what God has said. God says, "My way, regardless of what you think of it, is higher than your way." I would that I could get that into the hearts of men and women, not only at Eastside, but around this country. That God's way is the right way. And here were people that were contrary to God's way. And Paul knew they had not submitted themselves to the will of God. Why? Because they were seeking to establish their own system. Thus he knew they were to be blamed and not God. It was God's will they submit. But they did not. They did not do as they were told. So Paul tells them about his heart. We've looked at the heart of different people, but now Paul said, let you look into my heart, what my heart's desire is. My heart's desire is that you would be saved. In fact, it's not just his heart's desire. Look back in verse 1 at what else he said. It's my heart's desire and prayer. Underscore prayer. Look at this man. With such so deeply rooted in his heart, he not only desire that they be saved, he did something about it. He prayed from the heart. Now, just what did he pray? Did he pray that they may be saved a separate and apart from the Word? No, sir. But he prayed that they would come to an understanding of God's will. He did not cover up their condition, even though they came from his own people. He did not pray for God to save them separate and apart from the Word. He was praying they would be saved by the Word. Look in your Bible in verse 8. In the Bible in Romans 10 and verse 8. But what does it say? The Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. Underscore heart again. What is it he's trying to get them to see? The Word of God needs to continue in the heart. The word of faith which we preach. Then look at what he said in verse 9. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He talks about belief in the heart. That which was preached, the heart of man will love the truth and will obey God. Now, I want to take that and think about our day. Turn that thought to our day. This type of heart is sadly needed in the church of my Lord today. I'll tell you what, we need it here at Eastside. We ought to open our eyes and see the lost. Too many people just close their eyes to the condition of people outside of Christ. And sometimes they do not think about people who are lost. They maybe don't even think about their own flesh and blood. And I often think about how often we neglect to pray for the lost, and how often we neglect to go out and teach the lost. There are people who are lost outside of Christ. And I want to know, my friend, when was the last time we made an assertive effort to talk to them? When was the last time we prayed for them? And sometimes, my friend, they don't even have to be outside the church building. We've got some inside this church building that are lost. There are some people that sit in this pew that aren't right with God. And sometimes we think we got to go far away to find the lost. I'll tell you, my friend, you can open the doors and find them. And you can look around here and find them. And there would be more converts today if we could just get people to open their hearts to the fact that people out of Christ are lost. But I'll tell you something. Most are lost on their own. Many are lost because they will not submit to the will of God. They submit to some creed. They submit to some man idea. They submit to their desire of worship. Or they try to work out their own righteousness instead of submitting to God's righteousness. They look for their own way of salvation, their own way of worship, their own way of doing things instead of following the pattern God has given. And Paul said, my heart's desire is they go back to the pattern. Wouldn't that be something tonight? If in this nation there was a revival of God's people that we got on fire and we looked at the lost. And that we looked out at people lost in sin or even look inside here at people lost in sin. And we pray for them and we talk to them. I think about last week when Zach was baptized. I'll tell you, my heart was made to joy to recognize there's one more added to the family of God. There's one who now is saved by the blood of Christ. And my heart was made to rejoice as I recognized there was a young man who at one time stood outside but now is inside Christ. And I want you to think, my friend, if that doesn't make your heart rejoice, there's something wrong with your heart. If angels in heaven rejoice, then God's people should rejoice. But I want you to think about something else. Preachers need to preach with the word in their heart. Look in verse 8 again. Paul said the word not only in the mouth but in the heart. Look at that in verse 8. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. I want you to think about the day that Mike Richardson preaches and the word's not in his heart. He needs to resign. Now I preach some sorry sermons. And there's been some sermons that I've preached that I recognize put some to sleep, and I don't have to look forward to see it. But I'll tell you, my friend, the word better be in my heart, not just in my mouth. And we need men today in the local church to put that word in their heart and into their preaching of the Master to the people who are lost in sin, preach Jesus and Him who crucified, and oppose all error. And we need elders to have a heart's desire for the lost, working to lead others to Christ. Preachers ought to have that same mind. Parents need to have that same mind. All God's children ought to have that same mind. In just a few moments when we dismiss, we're going to have a teacher's meeting. And can I just be very blunt with you? And if you fire me, you fire me. I've come to learn, let them fire me. I've been disappointed by how few people come to the teachers' meeting. We've got some who are sick who'll come. We've got some who are aged and have health problems. They're there. They want to teach. But here is an opportunity for us to show our love for our young people and put the word in their mind and in their heart. And we've got a lot of people that don't ever go. And I want to tell you something. If I ever hear anyone else say, I've already served my time, you're going to get a lip back from Brother Richardson. Because I've looked in my Bible and I have never seen anywhere where you retire this side of heaven. We need to be teaching our children. And the next time you blame the preacher for children not being faithful, and the next time you blame the elders for not being faithful, I want you to look at your heart and you ask, have you invested in these children? What have you done to put faith in their heart? I'll tell you something, I don't care your age, you can have an 8 in the class, but when you become older, you've got wisdom to share. I'll tell you something that's true. The older you are, the more that some of them children respect you. My grandmother could say something to me that if anybody else said it to me, I'd probably pop off and say something. But I knew better not to talk back to Grandma. I remember one time my grandmother gave me a lecture on going to hell. I'll tell you what that did. That straightened me up. What makes us think that we can sit here and sing? And I looked around as Daniel sang, I want to be a worker for the Lord. And we sing it with gusto. And then when work's to be done, you look around and no one's there. We sing, we're loyal to Christ. He needs brave volunteers. I always knew Tennessee was right when he sang brave volunteers. But when you look for a volunteer, where is everybody? I tell you what, my friend. If you're not going to be willing to work, the next time we lead that song, please don't sing it because you're singing a lie. Now, there could be some who have health issues. I understand. There can be some who can't teach. I'm not trying to give you a guilt trip. There could be some who can't be here every time to teach. I understand that. And God knows that. But God also knows those of us who could do more. But choose not to. We live in a wicked world, people. These young people need all the encouragement they could get. I had a young man recently call me who's struggling with sin. He'd been struggling with pornography. He'd been struggling with some other things. And he called me and he just wanted to talk for a while. And when I hung up with him, I thought about how often we browbeat the young people and say the generation today is terrible. And yet there's some fine young people, some of the finest young people today, that if we would invest in, could turn out to be pillars of the congregation at Eastside in the future. You look at Colt, you might be looking at a future elder. You look at Conley and Charleston, you might be looking at future men who will lead the flock of God. You look at these young women and you see that they could one day be influential in teaching people. When my parents kept foster children, my mother made one of the best statements I've ever heard. They'd come in dirty. They'd come in looking around, scared. And she told me when I was just a little fella, don't see where they come from. See what they can become. There was a little boy they dropped off at our house named Bobby. And when he came into our house, he just sat down and cried. And I was about 5 years old, and I went up and asked him, what's wrong? Let's go play. And you know what? That's all he needed was somebody to show him some concern. We got some people. All they need is for some of us not to browbeat them, but show them our heart's desire is that they be saved. Can't we show them that? And do it out of love. And if you're not saved tonight, you can be saved by the blood of Christ. As together we stand and sing.